You're listening to the premier podcast for professional leaders by other professionals. We're going to be talking to the best of the biz about what they've learned along the way in their careers. We'll be giving you easy to understand tips that you can take and impact your business. Let's go. All right, welcome back to another episode of 3 for 3. This is Kurt, your host of the show. And today we are going to be talking about branding and in particular rebranding. So this is 2020 and a lot of organizations and companies have gone through a lot this year, a lot of challenges and a lot of struggles. And one thing that I've seen quite a few brands do is think about who they are. They've reevaluated, they've considered where they're heading, how this has changed them. Sometimes this has been premeditated, this has been planned for years to come, and sometimes this is a reaction to what we're going through right now. So today I have with me a guest that has been heavily involved with this with a very large brand, something that in a brand with a lot of history to it as well. Today my guest is Kara Buckler, who is the Director of Creative Services at the J.M. Smucker Company, which is a Fortune 500 CPG company located in Northeast Ohio. In her 16 years with the company, Kara has developed a passion for developing high-performance creative teams, elevating design for iconic brands, and driving new capabilities into the organization. Kara created the company's first in-house agency, Studio 38, and also currently leads the design, management, and packaging production teams for Smucker. So Kara is a resident of the Northeast Ohio area, and I know she is a mother to three lovely girls, and she's also very involved with some organizations such as the ANA's In-House Agency Committee, 100 Women Strong, as well as several Akron Children's Hospital organizations, which is one of the ways that I know her, a very good cause in our area as well. So Kara, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kurt. It's great to be here.
Kara, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background. You're the Director of Creative Services. How did you come into this role, and where's your specialty lie?
Wow. Well, I've been fortunate enough to be with the company for 16 years, and I have come up through the design and creative organization. So as you shared, I have the privilege of leading a creative cross-functional team. They're an amazing group, and it's just a joy to be part of that team. So it's been a fun journey, and part of the growth of the company, I've kind of got to ride the wave of growth at Smucker. You mentioned it's a Fortune 500 company. A lot of folks know us for our namesake Smucker's Fruit Spreads, but over the last two decades, the company has really transformed and become a nearly $8 billion multi-category leader in pet food and coffee and consumer foods with now over 40 brands. So this was essentially the catalyst for the corporate identity change that I'm here to talk about today.
Well, one thing that I would love to learn a little bit about is what the creative structure looks like in an organization like that. How many people do you work with on that process within your team, and what's the process to how you get things done?
Oh, wow. You know, I could probably go on for hours about that. There's different aspects of what we do on the team. You know, we've recently formed an in-house agency. They work on a lot of social content, e-commerce content, supplementing what our external partners do. We have a design management team that focuses on visual ID and brand architecture, and a packaging production team that is more involved in like the technical aspects of artwork and managing the thousands of products that come through our company. But you know, I would say in general, we manage our design and creative projects with a combination of leveraging external partners and doing some things in-house. So again, every project's a little bit different. This one in particular was a big one and kind of unusual. We generally focus on design for our portfolio of brands. This was a design project for our total company. So that was a bit unique.
Yeah, and so Tell us a little bit, before you get into some of the details and nuances of the project, how long had you been leading up to this? What was the timeline in which you got started on it?
Sure. Well, you know, it's been over a year in the making. And when you evolve the identity of a century-old company, you know, you have to do so with a lot of care and consideration. So a fun fact I learned at the onset was that our identity had evolved 8 times over our history, but most of us are most familiar with that iconic Smucker's Arch and the Two Berries, which has been in place since the 70s. So the foundational work for this project was just critically important. The first 2 to 3 months of the initiative was simply establishing the why. And I have to give credit to my colleague, Ray Hancart. He's the director of corporate communications and he co-led the project with me. He came to me over a year ago and said, "Hey, it's time to look at updating our identity." And to be honest, I was nervous. You know, people love to scrutinize corporate branding changes and it's tough to move away from something so iconic. But he was right. He had some initial research on how those outside of the company perceived us. And to no one's surprise, we were viewed as a highly regarded small jam and jelly business. And, you know, for a while that was okay. It was kind of like our little secret that we'd amassed all these great brands like Folgers and Milk-Bone and Jif over the years. But we realized that this misconception could actually impede our ability to recruit great talent. It could influence our investors' perceptions of us. And even for all of us as employees who work there, you know, we're super proud of the brands we work on. And it just felt like it was time.
Well, I can certainly understand how that would really get your mind thinking a lot of different directions. There's a lot of consequences behind this action, particularly with a brand that has such a history. And as you said, was it about 50 years since the last brand change happened, right?
Yeah, about 45 years. It was okay. Early 70s. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think this probably leads into one of your first tips, which I'll let you introduce, is thinking about the why to that. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, after I spoke with Ray, you know, we kind of laid out a plan, and with support from our executive leadership team, including our CEO, Mark Smucker, we began the process of selecting our agency partner and conducting some additional research just to make sure this was the right move. We partnered with CBX. They're a branding and design firm in New York, and I've worked with them for years on our pet business. They're fantastic. They helped with some additional supplemental research. They interviewed MBA students to understand perceptions of our identity. They conducted interviews with our executive team. They also helped deploy an employee survey, and we learned a ton from that. You know, nothing too surprising, but to boil that down to our top three sort of lessons in that early research phase, you know, number one, our identity conveyed a company that only makes fruit-based products. Again, that we kind of knew. Many described our identity as sort of cutesy or maybe even dated or old-fashioned. And then lastly, there's just a clear disconnect between that identity and who the company is today and our aspirations for the future. So in other words, the visual was very fitting in 1990, but not in 2020. So those results were presented back to our leadership, and there was unanimous alignment to proceed. There was also strong alignment that we can't just take a baby step and sort of zhuzh up the berries and call it a day. We really needed to convey the breadth of our portfolio and just the aspirations of our business today.
So certainly one of the things that I think is good to for our listeners to latch onto there is some of the research that goes into this and figuring out why. And this has to take into it everyone that is involved with the brand one way or the other. It could be your customers, but sometimes just as important, even sometimes more importantly, is your employees and the people that are part of this, because this is representing all of them, right?
Right. And I think there's a distinction, Kurt, between a corporate identity and some of the brands we market, right? So when we are designing, say, a Folgers project, we do rigorous research with our consumers, right? We're designing for them. This audience is a little bit different for corporate. You know, we're designing for prospective employees. We're designing for the investment community, our communities at large, and, you know, last but not least, our employees. So that the research was still critically important. The audience was just a bit different. So we definitely took that into account at the early stages.
And was there any point in that first initial phase of it that you thought to yourself that there was a possibility that you would not move forward in this direction? Or was it clear that it was going to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, looking back, we definitely have outgrown our identity, and I think that was clear for many. It's been this sort of 2-decade transformation, as I mentioned. So in many ways, it was overdue, and everybody was really ready for it. Now, if we would have tried this back in, say, 2003, after that first big acquisition, we might have not been ready yet. But 20 years of exponential growth, everybody agreed that it was time.
Okay. So I think fair to say that that first step is really building the case for the change, mm-hmm. and making sure that all of the partners that are involved with that are on board with that. So mm-hmm. if that's the first thing that you brought to the table, what would be the second one?
Well, I think establishing really clear success criteria was a very critical part of this project. After we established the reasons why, and before we leaped into the design process, we just really had to crystallize what does success look like. This is how we would ultimately measure the work. And so we landed on 4 success criteria, The first was that whatever we do, we need to maintain a sense of warmth and trustworthiness in our corporate identity, which is so present in today, and I'll call the former identity. Number 2, and this is one that is a little bit tricky, but we can't be connected to any one brand in our portfolio, including the Smucker's brand. The Smucker's brand is one of many in our portfolio. The third is probably the toughest yet most important, is that we had to find a way to honor our amazing history, but also signal growth and momentum, which in many ways are two opposing forces. So that's tricky to design for. And then lastly, we needed to be unique among our peer set. But because we were clear on this criteria, the design process was, I would say, incredibly smooth. We of course reviewed and considered dozens of concepts, but there was very early alignment on the design you see today, because we felt like not only did it meet our success criteria, but that it was beautiful and simple, and it really conveyed the vibrancy of our culture and our company.
So this is I think a critical point for anyone that's looking at rebranding, to have success criteria. And it is a very tricky thing. I think most would argue that it varies probably considerably depending on what kind of an organization that you are. But it is, I mean, I've been involved with dozens of branding projects and rebrands, and coming up with concrete items that you can come back to in the design process and in the storytelling process is really essential. And I think partly because whenever organizations are looking at doing something like this, they're going to run into barriers, and there's going to be a few people in the room that don't want change or have a clear idea of what they want. But having something like this, things that you can point to that a design answers 1, 2, 3, and 4, that allows those people to get on board. Did you run into any of those kind of barriers along the way that made the process tricky, and did anything help you through that?
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Kurt. For every design project, we kind of dubbed this the brief, right? It was the condensed version of the design brief, and we held that up against every design. And remarkably, because I think everybody was so primed and ready for the change, we didn't have a lot of barriers. But certainly it helped to evaluate a concept and say, oh, that maybe that feels like a push. It maybe feels uncomfortable, but it's delivering on our objectives, particularly that second one of, we can't be connected to any one brand in the portfolio. We're intentionally choosing not to be connected to our Smucker's brand. That Smucker's brand will continue to carry on those visual equities that people know and love, but this is our corporate identity and it needs to feel different. So I agree completely. Those success criteria were absolutely critical in the process.
And for people listening to this, you think about what Kara said. The items that she mentioned were not something that this needs to increase sales of something or other. It's not, you can't tie this directly to some sort of profit model. This needs to be connected to the feeling that you want to try to bring about, right?
Right. It's about telling a new story. It's in many ways about piquing curiosity, so people want to learn more about our company and recognize that, again, we're not just Jams and Jellies. We have grown beyond, although that's still an important part of our history and a heritage that we are also proud of. But we are, we've changed as an organization, and that's important to reflect.
And very good Jams and Jellies as well, I might add.
Good.
Side note, my family made homemade jam, or I guess it was homemade jelly for the first time earlier this year. I think it was one of those COVID projects. Yeah. And it was really good. But I said to myself, this is a lot of work for something that I could go get this from Smucker's, and it's going to be just pretty much.
We've got some experts in that.
So the process is fun, but you certainly have a great project a great product there. All right. So so it's number one there, the research and the surveys, and behind the scenes there. Number two, having that success criteria. What would be your third tip, Bring?
Well, getting it back into the process a little bit, after we established that ID, our agency in partnership with our internal studio, Studio 38, built out a really comprehensive system. So you can imagine all of the hundreds of touch points our identity shows up. We would need to change our physical spaces, our digital presence, et cetera. So all that planning was happening while we were also determining how to best tell the story to employees and then externally. So we knew unveiling this in a meaningful way was incredibly important. So a couple of things. Our corporate comms team helped with some internal buildups to the reveal, and then helped facilitate an all-employee meeting to share the change. That followed with the day after with an external press release and some media outreach. And one component I thought that was so wonderful, and I thought did a great job of explaining the strategic rationale, was a 7-minute video that CBX produced for us. It can be found on our corporate website or our YouTube channel if interested, but it starts with Mark, our CEO, and Richard Smucker, our chairman, just reinforcing that our values are unchanging, but that in order to progress, we need to be willing to change everything else. And I think it does an amazing job of really setting the stage for the change. One thing I realized yesterday, after going down a social media rabbit hole, which I do not recommend, by the way, is that, of course, everyone is not going to watch a 7-minute video to get the full story. So some were questioning, like, why would we mess with or alter something so iconic? And what I wish we could have reinforced further, and what I think we need to continue to educate on, is that all of those beloved classic vintage visual equities, like the Smucker's arch and that gingham pattern on the cap, those will continue to live on in the Smucker's brand because that's where they belong. But today, that brand is an important but smaller part of our overall portfolio as a company, and that's precisely the reason why our new corporate identity looks and feels different. So I'll get off that soapbox, but the storytelling part and conveying that in the form of a video using our leaders, in particular Mark, who is progressive and has a vision for the company, and being able to tell that story was really important.
So. And what we'll do here in the show notes, we'll make sure to have a link to that 7-minute video so people can see that, because I think that would be a great example. So I made note that what you did first, once you'd made the decision, is you released it to the employees first. And coming back to what we said, just make sure you take care of your investors and people, whether invested with you from a financial standpoint or invested with you from a working standpoint. They've invested their life and their time in you. Yeah. Having them on board with that and okay with that. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say one point I failed to mention too is that we had, even though it was a small kind of core team working on this, over the course of a year, we had an extended employee group of about 30 folks that were across functional representation. We had folks from operations and legal and finance just to be a sounding board and to be engaged in the process and ultimately help be our advocates when we did unveil to the rest of the employee base. So I thought that was another really important part of the journey of having that engagement, not only from our executive leadership team, but for employees at all levels of the organization in different parts of the organization as well.
So Carol, let me ask, what is next as far as the storytelling for the brand? Is this something that you're going to, that you've got a plan for different components that's going to reinforce where you're going, the different brands that this is representing? What's that next process look like?
No, I think that we'll continue to hopefully share externally some background on the change and the why. It does give us the opportunity to tell the story and hopefully catch some folks' attention to say, oh, hey, they do more than what I thought. Or this is kind of interesting. I want to find out more. So I think the long-term plan is just to integrate this sort of new look and feel into all of our materials, our environment, our websites, et cetera, and then where appropriate, use things like social media or connection points with investors to kind of tell our story and make sure that we connect the new look to, you know, the aspirations and the company stay. So I really felt like most invested on the design side, just being a creative person. I think our internal communications team kind of takes the baton from here, and they do a phenomenal job of continuing to tell the story.
Well, it's certainly nice to have a team that you can help delegate and fit whatever is within their specialty to help out with some of those stories. And one thing else I wanted to mention and call out to the people listening to this is that the use of video in a rebrand, I think, is really important. It's something that we can do very well right now. We're certainly doing that as an agency. We're looking at a rebrand as a project that we're working on right now. It's just a little something that can help, whether it's tell a story behind it or help people think about the evolution of it. And I think that actually one of the videos that I saw was the evolution from the old brand to the new brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's so important. It's so hard to, it's hard, especially with design. Design is so subjective. And I think being in it for so many years, I know that, you know, I think a mentor once told me, if everybody loves it, you're not doing something right. You're probably not pushing hard enough. But given like the ability to storytell and to give people more perspective and background through a video, I think is hugely helpful. Because in our case, you know, you look at from old to new, it's pretty revolutionary change. It's not just a little tweak, right? So the ability to tell that story and give the background is really important.
Yeah, because all of this work, it's not just a pretty looking thing with fresh colors. Everything right here is done intentionally. And that's what needs to come across.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think whether you are a Fortune 500 company or you are a small to medium-sized business, this is good information. This is things that people can take, and when the time is right for your company, your nonprofit organization, whatever it may be, these are things that you need to build into your process. And as you're thinking about how to go about it, make sure it has the intentionality behind it, has the research behind it, and it takes those right steps to it. So thank you, Kara, for sharing that with us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a privilege to be part of this project. I should just mention it was just a once-in-a-career type of opportunity and really fun to talk about it. So thanks for allowing me on the podcast.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad this worked out. So we always wrap up here with a few questions, and we like it when our guests get these all right. So I didn't make these too difficult, but I think you'll find these kind of fascinating. So are you ready for a few quiz questions about branding?
Go for it.
All right. So the first one is the Adidas logo. Are you familiar with it?
Of course.
Okay, so it's remarkably complex for its relative simplicity. They've got four different variations, like the trefoil and the mountain, but the commonality in all of the logos is the three stripes. Everyone recognizes that. And it originates from stripes on the racing shoes. So it used to be track shoes that they would focus on. So, question for you, Kara. What purpose did those three stripes serve? I've got three answers for you, three possible answers. So A, they help make the shoes more breathable. B, they help make the shoes more durable. Or C, they were just purely for decoration.
Oh, gosh. I think probably, I don't know, maybe A?
Hey, well, I tell you what, I give all my guests a second chance, a call a friend, if you will. So it's what was your second intuition?
Okay, was it just for the meaning? Is it just C?
It's, I tell you what, it was actually for durability. It was B.
Oh, what? And so you were supposed to do softballs, Kurt. I totally messed
that up. Well, you know, if you weren't looking at a picture of it, you wouldn't know it, but the stripes were actually diagonal stripes that went from the laces to the bottom of the shoe. I don't know if this, and who knows if this was actually had anything to do with durability, but like it would actually hold the shoe together where it may have broken at one point. So that's
cool. Well, I learned something new. That's awesome.
Exactly. All right. So this next question is a little bit more recently, and it's from a more recent introduction of a brand actually. So when you're doing a logo redesign or an initial design, this is usually handled by professional designers, as we talked about, and there's gonna be a pretty significant cost to it. But there is one that's in recent history that was purchased on iStock for $15. Okay, which of these was purchased on iStock for $15? Was it the original Twitter bird, B, the Instagram camera icon, C, the Snapchat ghost, or D, the TripAdvisor owl?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with the Twitter ghost, or not Twitter ghost, the Snapchat ghost.
You broke up. I think you said the Twitter bird, and if you said the Twitter bird, you are correct with that.
Okay, I was wrong. I thought it was. That's right.
I'm helping. Yeah. So
the original
Twitter bird was bought on iStock for $15. Can you believe that? And it lasted for 3 years.
I can't. I mean, those were all pretty basic. So that was a tough one, but that's something new I didn't know. Cool.
Yeah. All right, so let's round it out here. So Domino's. Domino's is known for their blue and red logo of a domino. It has two spots on one side and one on the other. So the number 3, 2+1, was very important to the brand. So did this represent A, the 3 main ingredients in the pizza, which is dough, sauce, and cheese? Did it represent B, a promotion when it opened in 1965 that every pizza was $3? Or was it C, the 3 original locations for the restaurants?
I'm going to go with C, the original locations.
You got it. Well done.
Oh, I got one right.
So this is kind of an interesting fact about that. They were planning to add another spot to the domino each time they opened up a restaurant. They figured maybe they would open up, who knows, maybe 10 or 12. If they had kept doing that, they would have 10,000 dots on that domino at this point.
All right. Funny.
Well, thank you, Kara. I think that was, I didn't expect you to get all those right, but a little interesting history on some brands there.
Those were great. Thanks, Kurt. Sad I only got one right, but learned something new.
Exactly. Well, like I said, in the show notes, we'll post a little information about the rebrand. We'll have some pictures up of that as well, so people can take a look at that if they have not seen the new brand for the Smucker company. But for anyone that wants to either connect with you or with the brand, how would you recommend folks do that?
Well, feel free to also include my email address, Kurt. I'm happy to talk to anyone who wants to dive deeper into the corporate identity project. Or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn as well.
That sounds great, Kara. Again, thanks for being on the show, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Thanks so much.
3 for 3 is produced by the marketing experts at Clyden & Associates. Clyden is a full-service marketing agency that has been bringing ideas to life for over 45 years. Head to Clyden.com to see their work and learn more.